Bless Marcia and Robert, Lord. Bless them. May they speak your words, Lord. May the words of their mouths and the meditation of all our hearts be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we start, I've been known as Robert the Redeemed. And my voice is loud in this room. I'm known as Robert the Redeemed, and the Lord has called me to share redeemed CDs. And I've got the People's album, Soul Survivor, probably in the 1990s, and I know that Matt Redman is involved in that. And the other one is a group called the Out of Eden, three young Southern African-American girls. And I know that the producers, the Goatee Brothers, they picked out really good groups. So if somebody would like one of these albums to have, one of these redeemed albums, come forward and get them. Okay. Amen. Now that's what I like, see? When I first started doing this, I had to go down in the audience and give them away because people were so reserved. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit, we get this freedom to jump up. And secondly, I would like to invite Toby Chen to come up here. Amen. And I want you to picture, this is sort of like Jesus in the marketplace, Jesus and his gang of guys and stuff. And this young man is obviously one. And they want to sort of attract a crowd, right? So this is what we do. Okay, Toby, you got it. That's an example of signs and wonders, right? Signs and wonders. Well, you have a man has a gift, and then he works in his gift. And he gets really good at it. Amen? Okay, well, we're going to continue with there. I'm going to invite my my lovely wife, Marcia, up here and lead us out. Yeah. Does it slide down?
Happen, but once in a while. I want to start off by thanking you. Though I know that some of you prayed for me last week, and it really helped. I fell and wrenched my shoulder, and it just, it still really hurts, but I don't think it's anything. I think your prayers have really helped, and I don't think there's anything seriously wrong, but I still can't raise my arm. I'm working on it. And the Lord has been giving me another great lesson in patience. And the reason I was most disappointed by missing last week is because prayer is a topic for Robert and I that is most important in our Christian walk. And the reason is, I think you may have heard this before, so I'll do the short version. We were in the world, in the bar scene. Robert had a sports bar, in the drug scene. And definitely, you know, the last thing, I remember once we were driving, this is before we were converted, we were driving down the freeway and Robert had just, I think it was maybe our second date or something, and we're in the sports car and drinking champagne and all of a sudden out of my mouth pops these words, "The Lord brought us together." And I was like, who said that? I'm like, where'd that come from? How could that come out of my mouth? I was so embarrassed. And I thought, he's just going to take me home now. You know, I mean, I just said, why would he want to be with a woman who says something like that? And actually, he was thinking that. He was thinking, maybe I should take her home. You know, like, she's crazier than I thought. Right? And, you know, because it's, at that point in our lives, people who talked about the Lord were crazy. They were moonies or something, you know, people who had given up their mind. And but actually, that was the beginning of this prophetic gifting the Lord has given me. Because a few months later, Robert had had cancer, fairly serious cancer, and then, you know, it's like Jonah trying to avoid going to Nineveh. The Lord just kept, okay, you're not ready to go, okay, I'll put another thing in your way. So he had a horrible argument with this nasty owner of his building and decided to move, close the bar, and we decided to take a couple months off, and we went on a trip to Canada. And the Lord was like reeling us in, you know. We came back from that trip and Robert had a horrible ulcer in his throat. And he went to the doctor and the doctor, I think, was suspicious that the cancer had returned. And in the midst of that, his sister prayed for him and I had this dream about a dead man chasing us. Like a really nasty, you know, sort of like you see in the movies these days, the zombie guys, you know, like a half rotted and stuff, chasing us. And I hadn't thought about the Lord again for years and years, but in my dream, I cried out to the Lord. And he said, find a church, get in it, and don't come out. And the only church I could think of at that time was that little white church at Fairyland in Oakland. That was the only church I had been near in 20 years, was that church, taking my son when he was little to Fairyland. So I tried to, but that's a little tiny church. I tried to get in that church in my dream, and I did, and the dead man walked around the outside. So I shared the dream with Robert, and we started looking for a church, and we walked down our street one Sunday morning to the Presbyterian church on the corner and went in. And we sat through the service, and it was an okay sermon, et cetera. I don't even remember what it was about. But after the service, a group of people who had just been to their first prayer training were looking for somebody to offer prayer. And being that nobody knew us, we were perfect, you know, sort of to try it out on. So they came up to us and said, can we pray for you? And Robert said, yeah, okay, my dad's in the hospital, et cetera. So they sort of gathered around us. And basically, I think what they had been taught was at this prayer training, was to ask the Holy Spirit to come. I think that was the extent of their training, pretty much, at that point. So that's what they did. They just, well, let's just invite the Holy Spirit, I remember them saying. And they did. And we were almost blown out of our seats. We were just, I can't describe it. We were just hit by the force and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Robert felt that a tornado went down his throat. And I can't describe exactly what it was like, but to me, it was maybe the idea of the tornado, like, you know how you see pictures of a tornado hit a house and it blows everything out of the house? The windows collapse and things fly out? That's how I felt. I felt like all this garbage that had been piling up in us for years and years blew out by this wind. We had been Christians as children, but we had, you know, sort of looked upon that as, you know, children's stories or something, you know, turned away from it. I would have told you I didn't believe in God at that time, I think. But this is the faithfulness of the Lord. We thought we had left the Lord, but the Lord had not left us. And he was calling. Now, I can think of moments in my life where I had these, you know, crystallized opportunities to come back. And this was one, a very powerful one of those. And we did. I mean, all this stuff blew out. And what was left was this desire for more of the Holy Spirit, for more of that relationship. And so we began to attend that church, but because of our experience, particularly Robert, had a dedication to praying for people. And for a while, I mean, no matter where we went, he would wander up to people and ask if they wanted prayer. And I would be so embarrassed. I felt like I can't take him anywhere. You know, I mean, he's all he wants to do is pray for people. This is awful. You know, they won't like us. They'll think that we're just loony but one of the things that he realized really quickly about prayer was that what people seem to dislike about prayer is long prayer. So he began to say, how about I say a 30-second prayer for you? I've never heard anybody say no to that. Because everybody thinks, oh, I can, okay, I don't want to be rude. I can handle 30 seconds, you know? And that's really all it takes. You invite the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit is doing, just like what happened to us. What happened to us went on for like an hour, but that's because the Holy Spirit had a lot of work to do, and we were basically prostrate. It was like having open heart surgery. You know, we couldn't get up and walk away. But depending on what the Holy Spirit is doing, you just invite the Holy Spirit to come and let that happen. A lot of times, and over the years, as we've prayed for people, a lot of times you're just sort of adding one drop to the bucket. You know, you're not going to see a lot of fireworks or a lot of change at that moment, but it's mounting, it's building. And as time went on, we became involved in the prayer ministry at the church that we ended up at. And we got more training. We were becoming more equipped, more experienced. And I can't say enough for the equipping of the Holy Spirit. The more you do it, it's like learning to play an instrument, like the guitar or something. The more you do it, the better you sound. More effective it becomes. The more you learn from your experience, you learn particularly discernment. You learn to read, listen to the Holy Spirit. And when you're doing it for that purpose, most of the time we prayed for people. We would go up after the church service and offer to pray. And so most of the time we were praying for people we didn't really know. So you can't depend on your own knowledge. You have to pay attention to anything that you sort of, anything the person says, anything. I remember in the beginning of our training, people would say, oh, I see pictures, or I see words in the air, things like that. For me, in the beginning, what happened was I had this horrible self-consciousness. I would sit there before, because I knew we were going to go ask people if they wanted prayer after the service. So during the service, I would sit there and just hear all these awful things about myself. You didn't pray enough during the week. You didn't read the word. You didn't ask God what he wanted. You know, all of my shortcomings. And after a couple of years of that, and I always went anyway because Robert was going and I had agreed, we had agreed to do this together. And the Holy Spirit always came. But after a couple of years of that, having that happen to me, I learned, okay, this is just spiritual warfare, this sort of accusation, this awareness of shortcomings. So I thought one day, well, I'll just, if it's spiritual warfare, I'll just ask God to remove it. I'll just pray to take it away so I don't have to go through this. And that was one of the quickest answers I've ever gotten back. And it was, and actually I think the thing I often hear the most is no. When I ask something, you know, should I do this? No. Can you take this away? No. Because what I heard back was, because when this happens, I'm weakening you. So when you go forward to pray, you are going in my strength and not yours. You are depending upon me and not yourself. And that is a really important thing about prayer. Is those, there are two parts to that. One, learning to depend upon the Holy Spirit, and two, learning that you can. That the Holy Spirit will always come. Something will always sort of get churned up, whether you see it or not. As years, you know, we ended up for 25 years training hundreds of people and teaching classes at different churches and several times a year at our own church doing weekend workshops. And one of the things that I remember happening was we formed prayer teams in the beginning when we took over the prayer ministry. And so we put beginners with more experienced people. And this woman came up for prayer. Her name was Kathy. And she asked for prayer. And when we called the Holy Spirit, she began to spit and curse. So this was a deliverance issue, you know. But after, and this went on for weeks, it went on. She would come up every Sunday. Because there was no deliverance, each Sunday we prayed, and each Sunday we would say, come back next week for more prayer. Because we try to keep prayer short and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Our image was, this is like a delivery of a baby. You know, sometimes you're boiling water in the next room. Sometimes you're tearing sheets up or whatever, you know. But you aren't always there at that moment. You don't always catch the baby. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But you have to wait upon it. You can't make it happen. I remember in the early days, there would be these people would come in and say, oh, we prayed for this person all night, and they were finally delivered. But usually they weren't delivered after an all night. Wasn't that simple, because it's not you doing it. And so you have to relearn, you wait. So this woman kept coming every Sunday. And after about a month of this, prayer team people would say to me, you pray for Kathy this week. We are tired of getting spit on. So you do it. So I said, okay. I prayed for her one Sunday, and I remember going and asking a couple other prayer team members, are you getting anything about deliverance? Is the Lord saying anything to you that it's now? And everybody was, no, I'm not getting anything about now. Because you ask, is it now? No. So we just kept doing this. And then one Sunday she came up, and I went up to pray for her, and it was gone. It was just gone. She wasn't angry and cursing and spitting anymore. She was a different person. Sometime in that week, she was delivered. I don't even know if anybody was there. But I know that every drop that we put in the bucket over this period of 5 or 6 weeks mattered a lot. And that eventually she became a very strong prayer member of our teams, and continued to pursue prayer for other people, and went to, I think she ended up Christian University. Yeah. And went on with her own ministry in prayer. So you never know. I mean, I know when the people first prayed for us that Sunday, they didn't see us as clean fish. They saw us as pretty messy, you know, pretty unclean, pretty worldly. But they didn't give up on us. And they continued to invite us. And we had a lot of prayer the first year in particular, first 2 years. We had a lot of issues to get through as the Lord slowly, you know, peeled off the onion skins. So I think as you learn to do this, as you continue to do it, one of the greatest side effects is your discernment grows. You begin to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit in a way that you probably haven't had to before. Because when you're just praying by yourself or with people you know, you're not in a situation where you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what to do next. And so when you're praying for someone you don't know, you're just waiting on the Holy Spirit. And you find different people find different ways of communicating. For me, I think the most effective thing has been questions. I seem to get questions pop in my mind. So I ask them. And it could be anything. A few years ago, I was praying for a woman, and I just had this question. I asked her, is your hearing all right? She said, no, I don't hear out of one ear. And that's not what she asked for prayer for. So I said, well, we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to come. And we did. And she was healed right there. That's one of the only times in my experience that someone has been healed on the spot. A lot of times it's a long process of prayer or a short process, but not exactly at that moment of our prayer. So that was, and then people came up to me afterwards and said, how did you know that? And I have to say, it's not a formula. It is like playing the guitar. It is a situation where you do it and do it and do it, and after a while, it just gets easier. And you begin to follow the Holy Spirit more clearly. And then the Lord can do what he wants to do. And that's the point. I have one image I want to leave you with. And that's, I saw this program the other day about turkeys on nature. And this man collected a clutch of turkey eggs where the mother had been killed, but they were still warm and alive. And he brought them home, and he got an incubator, and he began to care for these eggs, turn them. And someone told him, you have to cluck and peep at the eggs while they're, you know, while they're in the incubator and you're turning them. You speak to them. And you begin to make sounds. And so he began to do that. And the day came when the little turkeys started to peck through the eggshell. And they began to peep. And he clucked back. And they peeped, they pecked harder. They worked at getting out of the shell because he answered. Because they heard him. And by now, they knew his voice. This touches me. I'm emotional. it's such a perfect image to me for how the Holy Spirit is with us. We're in a shell. We're closed off to the Holy Spirit, to the real, eternal heaven. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the shell. And we hear it. And we begin to learn it. We begin to identify that voice. And slowly, we peck through the eggshell. We start to work our way out. And it answers. We work harder. We break through. It's a long process. It may, you know, we may break through this part and still have the rest of the shell over here. It's a long process of life. But the Holy Spirit is always there, always clucking to us, always hearing, encouraging, and we keep working at it. And the more shell we break off, the more of the true eternal world is revealed to us. The more we walk in the kingdom, and the more effective we will be in becoming a member of that world. Some never make it out of the shell. And others, and I believe a lot of this is because we are given this encouragement and we are equipped to do it. Others do. And that's what I believe prayer is. It is that language of clucking and peeping and pecking as it working it away until more and more of the Spirit is revealed to us. More and more we see where we truly are, where we truly belong, and what we have been created to do.
In light of what Marcia is sharing in Romans 8, I think 27 and 28, it says that God's purpose for each of us is to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. Molded. You think about chick getting out. I mean, it's like us all trying to do, what can we do? We're working at it, and the Lord is speaking to us. And the good thing about prayer, one thing that Marcia didn't mention, that every time you pray for somebody, you get something. There's something, you see something about it. There's something about it that inside of you, Jesus inside of you is happy. And you feel that. You have an opportunity to share that. And to sort of sum it all up, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, because this training that we're doing, like in 30 minutes, when we go to other churches, we do two-hour training on a Friday night and all day Saturday. And so consequently, it's sort of difficult to put it in there. But last week, I was at a Chipotle restaurant in Panola, a place that Marlene introduced me to. And Marcia and I stopped by. We were at Kaiser and Panola. And as I walked in, I saw this big. I saw some basketball players from Salesian, and I saw this big, tall, white guy, about 6'6", and he was obviously one of the coaches. And so I walked up to him. I said, "Hey, how's your team doing? I hear they're doing pretty good." And he said, "Oh, we got a young team." And I said, "Well, I used to be a coach at El Serbani Middle School, Christian School." He says, "He did? You were?" And he said, "What's your name?" I said, "Robert Scott." And he said, "You taught me how to shake hands." You taught me how to shake hands. When he was an eighth grader, he was in the eighth grade class, and I taught all those kids how to shake hands. Now he's a grown man coaching and teaching science. And he remembers that I prayed for him, basically. That's the way the prayer thing works. You teach somebody just by praying for them. When you pray for them, you plant seeds in them. And those seeds mature and they grow. If you give Jesus Christ 30 seconds, he'll change your life. Amen? So I know that we have to get on to Holy Communion. So we'll turn the meeting over to Pastor Joseph.
Wonder today is already start the five step or not yet? You know. Okay. I think you know. I fully endorse you know Marshall and Robert's teaching. You know, but I invite you don't think of it as just a you know academic you know teaching. I appreciate Marshall to share her heart, her journey. I was very touched. I just want to let you know, Holy Spirit is the third person of Godhead. He is God. And he loves each one of us. Holy Spirit is not a spirit we can use. We submit to him. He's the Lord. So I think we need a lot of learning on this. I understand that in the English group, we also learned the healing too, right? We are learning. Today, I think Marsha explained, we need a lot of learning. You know, gradually we get a foundation and then we then we start practice. The first person we practice on ourselves. I went to Bethel Church last week to the Randy Clark School of Healing. I kind of really excited about it. It's not just to copy what he's doing. It's to learn to see the world the Lord can do. There are so many people suffer. I tell you, all shape, all kind. They suffer so deeply. But I saw was God loved them. The Lord can touch them. Different. I don't have time to share that more in the future sermon I'm going to share. But I want to encourage you, we're going to have a Holy Communion. Every time we participate in Holy Communion, I'm very moved every time. Because this is a covenant. Amen? To remind you and me what's our identity, right? The reason the Holy Spirit can use you and me because we are children of God. You are not just an engineer, pharmacist, you know, IT person. You are a child of God. Amen? He will provide. He will heal. He will use you and me in different places. We don't need to be anxious about that. We need to come together today. We celebrate. Christ died for us. I just wonder, anyone can invite the kids to come now? They can join us. On the Last Supper, Jesus established this covenant with you and me. The bread referred to his body being broken for each one of us. The cup referred to the blood he shed for each one of us. So we can, our sin can be forgiven and cleansed. I believe this gospel is the full gospel. Not just redeem our soul and spirit. It also can heal our body. Amen? We will practice more. So today still is the introduction. Last Sunday was Robert's introduction. And today is Marshall's introduction. On February 15th, they're going to share with us about the five steps. How you can proceed to pray for people, for healing, etc. I think It's necessary. It's not easy. They already gone through this ministry for so long. They have a lot of insight to share. So next time you're going to present.
Yes.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Arouse your appetites. How many of you listen today being touched, being stirred? You want to be prayed for, you want to pray for other people. That's wonderful. That's prepare us for this Holy Communion. I'd like to invite you, those who has been received Jesus as Savior and the Lord and baptized unto the Church of Jesus Christ, to come forward to take this bread and cup. After you take this, you go back to your seat and stand there. You pray to the Lord. You thank Him for your identity. You thank Him for this full gospel. You thank Him for this healing power it can be experienced in your life, in other people's life. How about that? So please come forward from the last row. We line up.
I have a word about offering the Lord our gratitude. Whatever He puts on your heart at this moment, it's a good moment to thank the Lord and the Holy Spirit.
Why don't we use this time? You can pray to the Lord yourself. Give the thanks, whatever the area, you know, the thing just happened recently or for a while. Just give thanks to the Lord. We all open our mouth to pray to the Lord. That's the best time to say that. Well, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Loving you forever. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here. Lord, you are good. Your love endures forever. Lord, this bread and cup remind us your covenant with us. You love us. You care for us. Holy Spirit, I pray today you move deeper in our life to realize how much you have blessed us. Despite there are many suffering and difficulty, you bring us to a deeper place to know you. We thank you for Marshall and Robert's share today. You whet our appetite to have more about you. Not just for sign and wonders, more about you. If we have you, we will have sign and wonder. We'll confirm your presence. Lord, we thank you for the bread and cup. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. May you continue to fill us with your love. Your love will enable us to overcome all the obstacles, afflictions. Be victorious. Thank you, Lord. Now let's take this bread together with a thankful heart. This cup refers to Jesus' blood being shed for each one of us. Let's have it with a thankful heart. Lord Jesus, we ask you for your continued presence in our life. May you continue to speak to us today. May you give us breakthrough in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. We conclude our worship here, and God bless you.